or so. We're going to be talking about be the difference. Be the difference. And I think with everything happening in our world, it's been on my heart so heavy. All the people that are frustrated, that are angry, that are divided. We know that we are living in a country that is, it seems to be divided right now in many aspects, whether it's politically, whether it's racial, whether it's economic, whether it's, you know, whatever it is. But we seem to be divided. And I began just to seek God about this morning, and I kept hearing the word footprint, 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 that we each leave a footprint. Each of us have a footprint we leave in this life. Each of us leaves something. Each of us have responsibility to do something, not just if you're a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or a deacon, but each Christian has an obligation and a responsibility to be the difference. And each one of us can make a powerful difference if we really believe that. Gandhi was quoted as saying this: I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians. Your Christians are unlike your Christ. Now really think about that. Have we said that before? How many of us that did our little neck shaking or hip holding? They say they went to church. They've been in revival all week. They need to go back. I can't tell they've been in no revival. Acting like no Christian. Talking, bad mouthing, swearing, cursing, meddling, being nosy. We can make a difference. God gave each of us different gifts. Which, by the way, I want to thank Kenneth Souls, those beautiful benches on the front of our church. Have y'all saw them? Kenneth did not build those by hand, but he did put them together. So thank you, Kenneth. Appreciate that for the church. I dropped them off in boxes and called him and says, any way you can put these together? He came and picked them up, took them to his house, put them together, brought them back. And we got a lot of compliments on them. They're very, a lot of people have been sitting in them and using them, so thank you very much for that. Each of us have gifts. My gift is not putting a bench together. I would have it upside down or backwards or something. Or I would just throw away parts I didn't use. I've done that before too. Each of us have different gifts. For some, it may be what Kenneth does, a behind-the-scenes kind of guy. Unless the Holy Ghost really hits Kenneth hard, I don't think he'll be up here preaching anytime soon. Am I right, Kenneth? So, he may not be behind a pulpit, but he can do a lot of things for us behind the scenes that blesses the body of Christ. Each one of us have gifts. We're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 4 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. Says, above all things, have fervent love one for another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. That translation means that love keeps on forgiving. It forgives over and over and over. Now, we have the three-strike rule, right? Some of us have a one-strike rule. Depends on where you're at in life. I'm not going to forgive no more. They've done it. I'm done. I'm over it. Something that we can do to make a difference, church, every one of us can do this. Now, you may not like it. By the way you're looking at me, it's going to be a challenge for many of you this morning. But I promise you, something each of us can do, we can love somebody. We can love one another if Christ is in you. We can truly love our brothers and sisters, no matter what they look like, where they come from, what their past has been, if they've abused you and if they've hurt you. We can still love them. And with me earlier saying how people through the years of 15 years of ministry have come and gone, come and gone, come and gone, some's left, never come back, you know, I've got calls years later from me, those same people, pastor, you're the one. I don't say, well, you know what? I say, what you need. Now, Melly may say, James, I can, Melly. That's why I'm the pastor and you're not. Because she sees the abuse and the hurt. And she sees me keep giving myself over and over and over again. I mean, over and over and over again. But that's what love does. Because it may be that 10th time or that 11th time or that 16th time that the breakthrough comes. That the seed gets deep enough that it manifests the harvest. And so each one of us can love. That's a difference each of us can make as Christians, that we love. We have so much division. Now, I'm a person, as you know, as a Christian. I'm a pastor. I am a Christian. And I am more on the conservative side. just to let you know that. With that said, I've got people that are more liberal that I can still love. I might tell them why they're wrong, but while I'm doing it, I love them. I don't have to agree with somebody to love them. I've got a son. I don't agree with anything he's doing right now, but I sure love him. Even if I can't have a relationship with him right now, I still love him. And that can't change because he's mine. Each of us can make a difference by loving someone. And I don't mean by just saying it. I mean by doing it, by being there, by demonstrating it. There's a big difference in idle words and manifestation. Muhammad Ali was very cocky, wasn't he? Saying, I'm the greatest. Well, guess what? He was. Far as boxing, he was the greatest. He could fly like a butterfly and sting like a bee because his name was Muhammad Ali. He could do that. He was an incredible boxer. Michael Jordan can say he was the best. He's still the best. He'd been retired for, what, 20 years? Kids, Bill's son had a Michael Jordan pair of shorts and shirt. Bill's son is wearing Michael Jordan stuff. Not LeBron, not Kobe. Michael. Because Michael's the greatest. Number 23 is the greatest to ever play the game. Don't care what. He's the greatest. And so there are those people that we say, they say it and they back it up. And then there are those that say, oh, I love everybody except, you know. I mean, it's like, you know, the Marines should love the Army. Can I get amen from the Marines? See what I'm saying? Poor Forrest. We got to break through that and say, you know what? I can love the Army guys, even though I'm a Marine, even though I'm better. I can still love them. We got to love each other. That's something each of us can do because love keeps forgiving over and over and over. What's the point of that? Because when people see you forgive them, they see the Christ in you. They truly see the living Savior that you claim to belong to with more than idle words, but they see it in action. Verse 9, he goes on to say this. Be hospitable. I love that word. Y'all just say it, hospitable. Ain't that fun to say? Hospitable. Be hospitable to one another. And look, here's the key now. You don't say, hey, Bill, how you doing? Good to see you. Hey, Linda, glad you made it. Hope life's treating you good. You know the cartoon on A Bugs Bunny with Yosemite Sam? Oh, I love Yosemite Sam. Remember the cowboy with the red mustache? Didn't he always grumble and mumble under his breath? You know what he was doing? He was silently cussing. About that Bugs Bunny. Always mumbling, always grumbling, always complaining. We're to be hospitable one to another. That means that we show love one to another. And we don't do it fake. We do it genuine. Because if Christ lives in us, we truly should be able to express a true love to other people. And we should. Don't mean we have to agree with them. We don't get mad at them. But it means we love them. And we don't dismiss them because they've hurt us. Man, look at how Jesus got hurt. I think about Peter, since we're reading about him. He denied him 3 times. Put this in today's picture, okay? Let's use Don. I'm not using an example. A scapegoat for a while. Don, you're at Walmart. Okay, you're on aisle 3. 3 or 4 people are around you. You're talking to your little circle of friends. They come in. Y'all meet up and y'all are just talking. And then somebody walks up and says, hey, Don, don't you go to that Living Word Ministries? Don't you, James Lewis, your pastor, right? Don't you go to that church? No. I don't go to that church. I don't know James Lewis. Mm-mm. Okay. And then somebody else comes along. Hey, Don, James Lewis, your pastor. You go to that church at Living Word? No, I don't. No. Yeah, that's my brother, my twin brother. You don't know him. That's not me. This is what Peter did. He openly denied, he didn't deny believing in Jesus, but he denied in hanging out with them. He denied in being really part of his following crowd. He denied, I don't have anything to do with him. No, not me. But yet, what happened? Jesus loved him. And he's one of his disciples. And he died for Peter. And he didn't hold it against him. He didn't kick him out. He didn't revoke his fellowship with Peter. He loved him through his denial. He loved Saul through his threatenings and cursings of God. He loved people. And that's something each of us can do. We can love each other. No matter what our skin color is, or no matter what our uniform looks like, or no matter what our neighbors look like, we can love each other. That's the greatest testament we have of showing Christ to the world. Each one has received a gift. Look what it says. Each one of us has something we can offer. Minister it to one another. Give it to one another. We're to share with one another the gifts God's given us. I was thinking about this church, this local body we have of all the volunteers. And many of you may not recognize or know what each other do. So I want to point out some people. I think about Jeremy and Brandon, who's here faithfully twice a week. Twice a week, running the sound, the volume, the slideshows. They do that voluntarily. It's a gift that they're giving you. It's something they're giving you. We seen Chuck and Jewel this morning sing a song to bless the church. We see Marjorie, Christy sing a song to bless the church. Voluntarily giving gifts. I can't play a keyboard, but Marjorie can, and she offers that gift and gives it back to the church. Don does a lot of behind-the-scenes work in our IT department. If I have a computer malfunction, if I have any kind of electronic breakdown, alarm issue, any of that stuff, I'm calling Don, and Don behind the scenes is fixing it, making it work, getting it right. We have Mr. Randy, who in many bigger churches would get a salary for what he does. But he doesn't here. All he gets is a big old thank you and a pat on the back, and we love you, Randy, and we support you. But all he does for these kids and all the teachers who volunteer Sunday and Wednesday to watch your kids, y'all know how they act. They got to watch them. Dee giving herself, singing and ministering to God, just out of her heart, you know, giving unto the Lord. Anna and my mom, who stepped up and volunteered to birth a new ministry called Primetimers, who put a lot of work in planning and preparation and work voluntarily doing that for the church. And we have many others that do things. That's just a sample. Jeannie and Barbara, who clean the church every single week, Friday mornings over here, mopping floors, cleaning commodes, wiping out sinks, emptying trash, and vacuuming the sanctuary without a dime compensation. Each one, and they're both backward by nature. They're not going to be up here either with Kenneth preaching. They're very backward. But you know what? That's something they can do. That's something that they're giving of themselves. They're making a difference. Aren't you glad the bathrooms are clean when you come here on Sundays? You might not come back if we didn't clean the bathrooms. And I wouldn't blame you. Aren't you glad the yard gets mowed? I think about Thomas back there. This year is mowing the yard for the church at no cost all year long. Mowing the yard, using his time, his gas to mow the church yard. He was out here 4 or 5 hours last week in the church yard taking care of things. So when you pull up, the grass is pretty and everything's trimmed and all voluntary. Because once again, Thomas, it's a gift he can give. I can drive a lawnmower. I can use a weed eater. I want to do that for the church. Each one of us have a gift and we are to share it with each other. Aren't gifts fun? When you're a parent and you're giving your kids gifts, aren't you excited to give it to them as they are to receive it? Because you know what you got them. And I remember my kids, you know, now they're bigger. They don't get, you know, like gift, you know, toys and stuff. But I remember when they were small and we'd have stuff wrapped up for them and how I knew it was in the wrapping. And I couldn't wait to see their face because I knew when they opened it up, they were going to squeal like a pig or holler like a girl, you know. And they're going to have one of them, you know, priceless face moments, you know, where the girls are, no, you didn't. I don't know why y'all do that. Women fan themselves. I don't know why they fan us. Oh my gosh, oh. And they're just so excited. Well, you know what? You're excited to give it to them. That's a gift you gave. My point is this. When we start sharing our spiritual gifts and we start making a difference in someone's life, That's a high that no drug can give, to know I made a difference for the kingdom of God in someone's life. I sowed a seed, and I helped maybe change a heart. Nothing greater. Next scripture. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministered, let him do with ability which God supplies, and in all things God may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory, dominion forever and ever. We do these things to glorify God. Our gifts are used to glorify God. Our gifts are so that Gandhi can say, you know what? You are like your Christ. Because that's the greatest testament we have, is that we are like him. We're not going to be exactly like Jesus. We know that. But we sure can be a light and a witness. Matthew tells us that we are the light of the world, salt of the earth. Now, we love our salt. Many of you will salt your food before you ever taste it. Who does that before you ever taste it? Salt your food. Why do you do that? Why do you like salt? Why do you like salt? You like the taste of it. Sure, Jill. These sinners always got justified. We like our salt. And many of us will salt our food before we even taste it. We'll get a bunch of, you know, you get a McDonald's fries. Good Lord, it's already got 10 pounds of salt on it. Put more on it. Are you serious? Most foods have more than what we need anyway already in it on salt. And then we add that little snow blanket on top. The reason we like salt is because of the taste, the flavor. It seasons stuff. I salt very little as far as adding on. The one thing I do salt is grits. You've got the salt. Bill, make sure when you get grits next time. He's a Michigan boy. He hates grits. When you get grits, you've got to salt grits. You can't eat grits not salted. If you can, oh, I don't say you do it. I've got to have salt on grits. So, that's, thank you. Well, you're a Yankee too. Y'all don't appreciate grits. With salt they do, and pepper and butter, and red eye gravy. Anyway, once you add everything to it, it starts tasting good. But salt adds flavor, and we like that. Also, salt's a preserver. Don't you always, when you go to the ocean, and or if you swim in like salt water, whether it's a, I guess the ocean is really the main place. Sometimes pools have the salt system. But when you go to the ocean, that salt's good for you. That salt's good for your skin. That salt's good for healing wounds. That salt's good for making you feel alive and fresh, as long as you don't get eaten by a shark. It makes you feel alive and fresh. And you're like, I love swimming in the ocean because the salt just makes you feel, I don't know, clean or refreshed or something. I don't know. But salt's good. Salt adds flavor. Salt's a preserver. And Jesus says, you are the salt. You know what that means? You're the difference in the bland grits that have no drawing or the good southern grits that everybody wants. You're the salt. You're the difference. And so we need to be that difference. Each one of us can make a difference in someone's life by using the gifts God's given us. It may not be in speaking or singing, but it's in what we can give someone else. It may be a listening ear, church. It just may be hearing what they got to say. It may just be, if you need somebody to talk to, I'm here. It may be just a hug. It may just be a smile. Maybe a handshake. It may be a, hey, I'm here for you. It may be, I'm going to tell you something. When you see people around you that are so distraught, you'll be surprised how the conversation can open if you just say, you don't even have to know them. Say, are you okay today? Something looks wrong. And boom, there it comes. And then you made a connection. You had an opportunity to sow a seed into their lives. How things can be different because of the love of God, because God cares for them. We have to be the difference. Something I learned in business years ago, a line I heard, either you're part of the problem or you're part of the solution. Which one are you? We know we got problems. We know everything's not in a rosy, you know, fantasy land world, but each one of us can be the difference that stands in the gap and says, you know what? My job is to love. My job is to forgive. My job is to show the love of Christ. My job as a Christian is not to get caught up and pick sides and be so divisive. We can love everyone if the love of Christ in us. I'm not saying we approve everyone, church. I'm not, I want to make it clear. I'm not talking about blanket love that says, oh, I approve of what you do and how you're living and I have no issue. I'm not saying that. I'm saying how we treat people, what we show them, what we give them. Just like your children when you raise them. You discipline them, hopefully, whether it was a spanking, whether it was a, you know, 1, 2, 3, which I never did that. Whether it was a, you know, a grounding, whether it was taking something away from them, whatever that was. When you love them, you teach them right from wrong. You still love them. You don't accept their behavior, but you accept them. And you love them to the point you'll point that behavior out. This is not good for your life. So I'm punishing you so you recognize this is not good for your life. Remember in school, or when I was in school, back in my day, kids now are like, what is this? Well, it's called a pencil on paper that we had to write. But we used to have to write a sentence. I will not talk in class anymore. 100 times or something. Remember that? Had to write 100 times. I will not talk in class anymore. I will not talk in class anymore. I will not talk. I had to do that many times in school. But we had to hand write it out 100 times, 50 times. Sometimes they'd, you know, take it home, bring it back next morning. Had homework of writing down, I will not talk in class anymore, and bring it back and turn it in over and over and over, acknowledging, you know, because of teacher, I was held accountable for my actions. Go to the next scripture. Now, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This talks about the body, how we are the body. We are one body in Christ. It says, 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one, but it has many members, but all the members are of that one body. Being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether we're Jew, whether we're Greek, whether we're slave, whether we're free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but it's many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now, I love this illustration that Paul was using to describe the church. How that each one of us have a different function. Some of you may be a hand in the church. Some of you may be a foot in the church, or a nose, or an ear, or an eye. But each one of you bring a particular thing to the body that only you can bring, that helps unify and make complete the whole body. You know, we know that if we're missing a hand, that's noticeable. Even though we got another hand and 2 feet, we're still missing our hand. And it brings a challenge to our lives by missing a hand. Or if we missed a foot, or if we got 1 blind eye or 1 deaf ear. That's always a challenge because we're missing something that's not quite complete. I equate this to marriage as well, husbands and wives. Men and women are different, completely wired different. But you know what? Together they do work in most cases because we compensate. Whereas I'm weak in areas, my wife is strong. Whereas I'm strong, she may be weak. But together, as one body, husband and wife, we complete each other. The church, each one of us, complete each other with what we do and with what we offer. And I want to challenge you to find out what it is I can give back, what it is I can do. First of all, we've got to identify what part of the body am I. First of all, where do I fit? What can I bring that will help edify the church, the local church, the body, and the body of Christ? Because each part is equally important. Don't think your part's not. You know, Courtney back here on the back row, she came in a few months ago. She told me, said, right to her testimony she gave, she said, I want to do something for the church. You know, is there something I can do to serve? What can I be used for? And I gave her an assignment. She willingly, with joy, did it. She didn't complain. She didn't say, can I get something else? Or really? You know what she did? She went through our kitchen back there because it needed to be cleaned out, refrigerator, cabinets. We had a lot of stuff, old stuff, and just hadn't been touched in really several years as far as really cleaned out. She went through the kitchen, cleaned the refrigerator out, scrubbed the shelves, found all kinds of out-of-date product. We had coffee from 2011. So if y'all got sick in the last few years, sorry. She pulled Grandma. She's not here this morning, is she? She bought a fresh thing of coffee, and I seen it. I don't know if you saw it, Courtney. It's in the cabinet back here. There's a note on it. This is new coffee. Do not throw away. Tickle the fire, doesn't it? But she wrote that on there and stuck a note on the can of coffee. But Courtney went through one day. She spent several hours cleaning, organizing the cabinets, throwing out old product, getting rid of stuff. Just and was happy. Was you not happy to do that, Courtney? You were felt blessed to be able to do that for the church. And she took great joy in that. I mean, some of us would be like, oh, I don't do kitchen detail. I'm better than that. I want to tell you, before I started church, and I was at the same church for 20-some years, whatever my pastor asked me to do, I'd have an honor to done. If he'd have said, could you go to my house and get my toothbrush and deodorant and bring it back over here? Yes, I'd be glad to do it. I wouldn't have thought a thing about it. I was honoring the man of God. I was honoring him and the church. So we have to, first of all, be humble to say, whatever my gifts are, God, I want to use them because they are making a difference. You may not even see the difference you're making, but you are making a difference. In fact, Carolyn's making a difference today for all of your lives. She's asked me to announce this. She has a trunk full of tomatoes to give away. So before you leave, raise your hands. Everybody knows who you are. This one here has a trunk full of tomatoes. So go grab some tomatoes and take home. She is making a difference in your lives. Is that from your garden? From her garden. Homegrown, homemade, West Iredale tomatoes. So grab you some. And don't forget the mayonnaise and bread. If you don't have that, you got to get down your own. But ketchup. Eesh. Young generation. Each one, look at Minnie's face, ketchup. Of course, you think, well, you know, it makes sense, don't it? What's ketchup made out of? Maybe he's onto something, I don't know. But anyway, each one of us have a difference we can make. So be that difference. We had Chuck a few weeks ago. Y'all probably didn't even notice it. Our little hinge in our door was broke. It wasn't opening and closing right. The screw came out. It was you, Chuck, right? You went out and got a drill at church. Came back and spent a few minutes, fixed the door. You know? Jeremy, you don't know this either about Jeremy because he don't say anything. But Jeremy changes all of our light bulbs when they go out and our air filters up in the ceiling. And our exit. Jeremy got exits on it. Our exits are burned out. And he does a great job. He'll stay on me. You got them filters yet? No, Jeremy, I got to get them. You got them filters? He stays on me about that, to get them filters so he can get up there and change them. And that's things that make the church function. It makes the church go. And we appreciate that. Something else Kenneth does, you don't know this either, that steeple on top of our church, every couple years, I'll call them, that north side of the steeple that faces that way, north, gets stained up. It gets, what do you call it, mold and mildew and stuff kind of gets on that white steeple. Kenneth will come over here, climb on the roof, scrubs that steeple for us, gets it looking brand new. He does it every 2 or 3 years. I think it looks okay now, but might want to look at that on the way out. Thanks. But he does it every 2 or 3 years. Nobody knows that. Y'all just see a clean steeple every week, but it don't just stay clean on its own. The lights don't just stay on by themselves. The air just don't work by itself. Each one of us has something we can give back to the body of Christ. Remember that. Next verse. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not the body? He's making an analogy. You know, that's like you saying, well, I don't really have anything I can give. Yeah, you do. You got a lot you can give. You have a lot you can offer. You have a lot you can do. I've said this before, this little giving well up here, Tony Cook back there on the back made that. It was his idea. Come to me and says, you know, we need to have some of the children to be able to give their money, teach them how to give and the importance of giving in church. He built that well. They call it a wishing well. We changed it to a giving well. He built that and brought the church as his idea completely, and that's been a blessing. You see the joy of those kids' faces coming up, putting their money in that little giving wheel? They love that. They're smiling, not like you adults. I mean, they're willfully giving it. Just to let you know, some of our ushers are packed. Anyway, they run up, and they give it. And we've had that now for several years. And right now, like I told you, right now, we've got over $2,200 in the giving well money just for the kids' fund. That's awesome. Those dollars are adding up every week, and they're excited. And you know what? They're going to get something back out of that for them. And they're going to understand, I gave to God, and God gave back. It's awesome. Each one of us has something we can give, and we can offer the Lord, and we're doing it for him. So each one of you are part of the body, whether you think you're an important part or not. Next verse. If the whole body were an eye. I love this analogy. Can you not vision? Think about if your whole body was an eye. Picture that right now. Creepy, huh? One big eye. Okay, that's great. You can see a mile away, but you can't hear a thing. And you can't taste a thing, and you can't smell a thing, and you can't feel a thing. You can just see a thing. If the whole body were an eye, where would a hearing be? If the whole body were a big ear, where would a smelling be? If the whole, but God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, look at this, just as he is pleased. As God has, God's the one that gives us gifts. God's the one that gives us what we need. God gives each of us something, and we're responsible for something. It's kind of like I think about the parable Jesus talked about, the talents, where he gave the man, 10 talents, 5 talents, 1 talent, says go, do something, bring it back. The first two, multiplied it, brought back more to Jesus, but the one that had the one hid it, didn't do anything with it. And he said, the master was mad at him, said, why you still got, I was afraid, I didn't want to lose the one you gave me, so I just kept it safe and hid it. And he got mad at him. No, I gave you that talent to do more with it. I gave you that talent. I'm not talking about talent as in skill. I'm talking about talent as in as a piece of money. I gave you that to make more with it and bring me back. I want an investment. And he pretty much cursed that guy, the master did, and said, you know what? I'm done with you. And he lost the one he tried to hang on to so much, he ended up losing it. Because God wants us to use what he gave us, no matter what that is. Church, we can be the difference in someone's life. Each one of you can make a difference for the kingdom of God by your word, by your attitude, by your ear, whatever it is, you don't wait to be blessed, but you go out and be the blessing. You be the one to bless. Don't say, how many times? I'll be praying for you, brother. Do more. Do something for them. I'll be praying if God, like when James says, a man knocks on your door, hey, I'm hungry. And the man, now think about this. Chuck goes to a neighbor's house. Hey, Mr. Jones, man, I'm having a hard time, and I just lost my job, and I'm really hungry. I could use something to eat. And Chuck's neighbor says, Chuck, I'm so sorry. God bless you. And Chuck's getting excited, thinking, God, oh my gosh, bless your heart. Well, come on in. I tell you what, I'm going to pray for you. Lord, send them somebody to give them some food in Jesus' name. Now, brother, you go out, God's going to make the way. Chuck's just thinking, Mr. Jones, I just saw your kitchen table. You got 3 turkeys, 4 hams, 5 roast beefs, 10 packs of ramen noodles. You going to send me out of this house with nothing. Nothing. Sometimes we're so spiritually, they go like this, Gil. Sometimes we're so spiritually minded, we have no common sense anymore. We get so highfalutin in our spiritual way. Oh, the Holy Ghost is going to move. And the whole time, the Holy Ghost is trying to get you to move, not somebody else. You be the blessing. Well, I just can't do that. I don't want to. Be the blessing. God's going to honor that over and over and over again. There is nothing like being a blessing and making a difference. You never know where your seed's going to land. You just never know. I got a call a couple years ago now. It's been about 2 years ago from Minnie. You remember little Minnie, Karina, or Millie. Used to work with Bob and Pat down at the shop. Millie's come to church here, her and her husband and her son. Millie moved to Florida. She's been in Florida for several years. She came here for 2 years. We was in the fire department, and I think maybe entered the first of the building before she moved to Florida. She came 2 years. She called me out of the blue a couple years ago. Says, is this Pastor James Lewis? Yeah. This is Millie. Do you remember me? Yeah, I remember you. How you doing? We got talking. You know, she told me it so blessed me because I never knew. I never really knew. I knew she battled situations when he was here, and I would help her with some of that. But she told me, says, I just wanted to call and just thank you. This out of the blue call. Those 2 years I went to Living Word, says it saved my life. It got me to where I'm at today. I'm remarried. I married a Christian man. We're both in the church. We're both serving in the church. And so the 2 years that I needed that the most, you were there. And said it saved my life. I'm on the phone. I mean, I'm so humbled and in awe that she didn't even think to even call me or make that a point. But you know what? God was just, I think, giving me a refreshing. Saying, son, child, keep sowing. You never know the difference you're making. Church, each one of us can have that same testimony. Keep sowing. You never know the difference that you're making. in someone's life. Be the difference. Don't wait on someone else to be the difference. You step up and you be the difference. I've had the chance of blessing people in their lives. I don't have it to give, church. I don't have money to give away, believe me. But there are times that God has, you know, spoke to my heart to step in and do something for someone, or to give someone something, or just to do that out of my heart because I just felt impressed to do that. And you know what? I don't regret one time I've done that. Not one time, because it's not mine anyway. It belongs to God. Everything I've got belongs to God. My family, my money, my health, my home, my possessions. It's all God's anyway. So what he wants me to do is a good steward. Are we being good stewards of our gifts? Are we really being good stewards? Are we giving to others what God's given to us? Next verse. If they were all one member, then where would the body be? Let's think about this. If all that happened on Sunday morning was just, the whole time was just preaching, or the whole time was just singing, or the whole time was just testifying, or the whole time was just receiving the offering. That would be fun. Go again, go again, go again. If that's all that we got done, we would be lack in fulfilling what needed to be done. That's why in church we have singing, we have ministering, sometimes we have some testifying, we have giving, you know, we have prayer. We have a balance of things that make things fit. If it was only one thing all the time, other things would be lacking. If you took a dumbbell, only did curls on one arm, never use just your right arm. I do 20 curls, 3 sets a day for 5 days a week, just my right arm. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to look like this. What's up, man? You're going to have one big beefed up arm and one looking like it's about dead because you're not using it. The biggest reason that people start losing their walking ability is when they go to nursing homes, because they stop walking. And then they get so weak they can't. It's not that they lost their walking, that it was a disease that took their walking. They stopped walking. If you stop walking long enough, you won't walk again, because you're not using what you've got. We got to use what God's given us, whatever that is, and use it with the right attitude. You know what Paul said about receiving the offerings and stuff? We talk in the church. He says, you know, be a cheerful giver. Cheerful. We should cheerfully serve God. We should cheerfully worship God. We should cheerfully praise God. We should cheerfully want to be at church. Not because it's an obligation. You know, I think about Beulah, who's here this morning. So great to see her. Been out for weeks. Been much easier for Beulah to stay at home today. It was a chore getting here, wasn't it, Beulah? A chore. Getting to the car, sitting in the car, getting her out of the car, walking in. For some of us to take granted that we could walk from here to the Citgo station and back and not miss a beat. For Beulah to struggle to walk from here to the back door. It's a struggle. But you know why she's here? She's not here because I called and begged her. She's not here because I put some kind of, you better get to the house of God or you're doomed, doomed. She came because she wanted to. Her desire this morning, she woke up, I'm going to press through my pain. I'm going to press through my struggle. I'm going to press through and get to the house of God, because that's where my desire is. And that's the key to it all, really, because we do things we won't. This morning, in our first worship song, I didn't observe a whole lot of outward worship. But I bet you, if I'd have said, I got free tickets to this and this, will you raise your hands? All of a sudden, everybody's arms would have worked. You know why? Because the desire's got to be kindled. And maybe some of you are waiting on other people. Me and Mel talk about this all the time. It's me and her one-on-one. We talk about this. And this isn't to offend nobody. Please, don't take it offense. But I'm being real. It's going to be real. We talk about how things used to be. We talk about how people need to do this. I've had people, even my own family, tell me this. Well, let's start with you. Why don't you lift your hands? Why don't you worship? Why don't you step out? I've had folks tell me, man, James, I almost did that. Well, you missed it then. If you almost did it, you missed it. You didn't do it. People may think I'm funny. They already think you're funny. They're already talking about you, I promise. I get talked about all the time. I've accepted that. They're already talking about you. So who cares? It's time that we be the difference. Don't wait on someone else to praise God. Don't look around. Well, I don't know. It don't look like, I don't know if I'm supposed to do it. Really? Y'all know to praise God. Y'all know the altar is always open. Y'all know that we have free worship. So don't wait on nobody else. You be the one to step up and say, you know what? I'm going to praise my God. It don't matter who does or who doesn't. I'm going to praise my Lord. That's what it's about, is me and God, nobody else. You be the difference. You don't, I'm going to tell you something. I've seen that get contagious before. That'll spread like wildfire, man. Somebody, you know, there have been times my grandma said, man, Pastor, I almost danced. Well, you should have, Grandma. You should have just danced. Who knows? Might have got Kenneth dancing. You should have danced. You don't know what that's going to spark as you obey the Lord. Just step out and do what God's called you to do. We're still serving the same God. Nothing's changed. He's not changed. We've changed. Next verse, Brandon. Now, indeed, there are many members, but yet there's one body. Each one of us have a different role, but guess what? We're all family. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, cousin. That's weird, ain't it? I know it's Bill didn't look at his wife. That's good. We are all one family. Even though we have different walks, I mean, I know in this congregation, we have Cowboy fans, which is horrible. We have Steeler fans. We have Panther fans. We have Duke fans and Tar Heel fans. We have conservatives. We have probably some of you that are more liberal. And we have different walks. We have some of you that love the cops, some of you that probably hate the cops. Each one of us, though, are part of the same family of God. They got a team? They still got a state? Oh, Kentucky. Yeah, Kentucky. So each one of us are part of the same family, even though we're different. We're part, you know, you heard a term dysfunctional, right? We're a dysfunctional family. We are. I mean, look around this body. We're different ages, different backgrounds, all different states. You know how many states represented in this room right here? I know for a fact we have people that were in this room right now that are from Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, Wisconsin, who else? Massachusetts, Indiana. Look at that. Florida, I've been in Alaska for several years. Florida. That's like, what, 10 states? All of us are here. Different walk, different backgrounds, but we're one family. And each of us have a divine purpose in the Lord to do what he's called us to do. We're one body. Remember that. We're one body. We're not divided. We're one. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. We need each other. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. You know, think about this. It may be weaker, but think about our feet and hands. I think we've all thought about this. If we had to lose one, we've all talked about that. Which one would we really lose? Do I lose your sight or your hearing, a hand or a foot? I think we've thought about that before, talked about it. Which one seems, you know, you see people and like, man, that's awful. They've got a hand, but at least they got their feet, or they've lost a foot, but at least they have their hands. Different things may seem like they're not as important, but they're necessary. Each one of our gifts are necessary, even though it may not seem to the outward appearance as important or as big, but it's necessary. This ministry cannot function just with me. It takes many to function the ministry. My mom, dad, they do all the books, all the paperwork, all the receipting, pay all the bills. I do none of that. It wouldn't function without their great sacrifice and what they do with that. It wouldn't function without the leadership that we have behind the scenes and things that happen that people sometimes don't see. It wouldn't function without somebody cleaning the church, without somebody repairing the church, without somebody all of it is necessary to keep it going. And each one of us have a role and have a part. So embrace that and be proud of that. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And y'all show that, church. You truly do. You show that. I know yesterday I saw that firsthand at Tim and Courtney's, Skylar's birthday party, as many of you came out and supported them and had a wonderful time yesterday at fellowship. And it was beautiful. It was a beautiful time. And your words were beautiful. I saw the message you sent me, Courtney, on that, and I appreciate that. And it was an honor for me to be a part of it. But that's what we're there for, each other, to care for one another. Our care shouldn't be based on how they look or how they act or how they treat us. Our care should be, I'm Christ, and that's what I do. I'm sold out to Him, and that's how I live. That's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't have any, you know, everyone that came to Jesus for healing, He healed, every one of them. Everyone that came to Him, Master, He touched. Whether it was a Gentile woman, a Jewish man, a leper, a crippled, one that didn't even believe, that said, Lord, you know, whoever that came to Him and said, Lord, will you help me? He touched lives. That's what we're supposed to do, is touch lives. With so much hate and so much anger, so much junk, we are to be the difference, to touch lives. We can make a difference. Next verse. It goes to 27, right? Okay. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. That's how it should be. Think about your body. If you got just a little earache, just a little earache, nothing major, but just a kind of earache, ain't your whole body messed up? I mean, you feel it. You got something in your eye you can't get out. It's terrible. It drives you crazy. That little speck in your eye can affect your whole body. Your whole body suffers. You got a headache, you can't function. Your whole body suffers. When a member suffers, we suffer with it. And if a member is honored, we rejoice with it. We're to lift each other up in the good times and the bad times. To be there in the good times and the bad times. Because we're one body. We're one family. And we can make a difference. Next scripture. Now you are the bodies of Christ and members. That's the last verse, right? Individually. You are the body of Christ, but each one of you are individual members. Find out what your gifts are. Find out what God wants you to do and use them. Not just inside this building, but use them outside the walls. Make a difference. You can change someone's life one-on-one. I think about a parent, even, who raised their children to the best of their abilities, and they invest their whole lives in their children, how they've made a difference in their child's life. Whether they realize it or not, they've made a difference. Some of you have taken on grandkids, and you're supporting and raising your grandkids, or maybe, you know, other people, you're helping, you're making a difference. You're sowing a seed that's bringing a harvest. Be the difference. Don't talk about making a change. You be the change. Christ didn't talk about, He did it. He became the change for the whole world. And now those of us that put our faith in Him carry that same spirit in us, and we can be the change too. Marjorie, come on up if you would. Church, we can sit around and all we want, scratch our heads saying, I can't, you know, what do we do? I can't figure it out. And da, 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 da. Just do what God's called you to do. It may be, you know, something I do now everywhere I go. We was in Hickory Mall a couple weeks ago, and I went up to the police officer. And I said, I want to thank you for what you do. I appreciate you. You know what? That meant something to Him. That meant something to Him. That's something that we can make a difference, to show the love of Christ to everyone by being there and extending that to them. Love covers a multitude of sins, which means love keeps forgiven over and over and over. Let's pray. Father, for each heart in here this morning, for each one of us that maybe we're struggling with not knowing where we fit in the body, Lord, I pray that we rise up. We take our place that You've called us to take. That we don't just talk about it, God, but we show Your love to everyone around us. We are the body. We are one. Each one of us have different gifts in particular. Each one of us have something different to offer that can help change someone's life. Let us be that change, Lord. Let the church arise and be that change. That when they see Christ, or they see us, that they see Christ. When they see us, they see the one that we're serving. Let it be no mistake when they see our lives of who we belong to, that we belong to the King of Kings. Lord, we make mistakes and we're still very emotional creations. We want to fail time after time. But remind us, Lord, of that grace that forgives us time after time. That we get back up, back on the saddle and say, I will be the difference that people are waiting on. I will be the light and the salt to this earth. I will shine in this darkness. I will not be drawn in to the chaos, to the hate, to the violence that's all around me. But I will stand tall that people will see that I am yours, Lord, that I belong to you. Help us, Lord. Guide us and direct us and strengthen us today to go out of these walls and be the difference in someone's life. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Ushers, come on.